From the KGOU studios, I'm Suzette Gorlott, the Dean of the University of Oklahoma's College of International Studies, and welcome to Worldviews. Ari Roth is the founding artistic director of Mosaic Theater in Washington, D.C. His parents were refugees of the Holocaust, and his theater company strives to produce plays by authors on the front lines of conflict zones.
You're compelled to create work that saves souls, and that's what I think theater can be a part of as well.
But first, I'll talk with Joshua Landis about the apparent chemical weapons attack this week in Syria.
America says the Syrian regime did this, have a high level of certainty. They launched 50 some odd Tomahawk missiles that have hit an airbase in Syria.
That's all coming up after news from NPR. This is Worldviews. I'm Suzette Gorlott. Joshua Landis, we're obviously going to need to talk about Syria and what's been going on there this week. It is clearly an issue that's moving very quickly. But just a quick recap, there was what appears to be to have been a chemical weapons attack perpetrated by the state, Assad, against his own people earlier in the week. And then a lot of response from President Trump and others, you know, regarding that initially, but then more hardline position. And now, of course, a U.S. military response in Syria that we saw happen yesterday. So can you give us some of the background here a little bit about what we've actually seen happen and what we should be looking forward to from here?
Right. There was a sarin gas in Khan Sheikhoun, which is in Idlib province, which is dominated by al-Qaeda. The Syrian government bombed an area. Gas was released. Now, the Syrian government is very adamant that they did not do this, that al-Qaeda has launched a false flag operation. America says the Syrian regime did this. We have a high level of certainty. They launched 50 some odd Tomahawk missiles that have hit an airbase in Syria, destroying a bunch of planes, pockmarking the airfield.
They suggest that's the base from which the sarin gas attack, had been launched. Is that why they targeted that one?
Punitive strike. It did not do a lot of damage. Six people were killed. It didn't do a lot of damage. Of course, this airbase is being used by the regime to fight a lot of different forces, both ISIS and the rebel forces in the west of the country. It's a demonstration that the red line that President Obama had laid down in 2013, which despite all the criticism was quite successful. Nerve agents had not been used in Syria since 2013 when Obama laid down this red line. So this was a real challenge for the Trump administration because here were chemical weapons being used in Syria and he had to uphold that red line. And he had to do it in a way that would significantly raise the bar from what Obama had done, because he and many other Republicans had been so adamant about criticizing the president for not using military force in the first place. So here we are. He's raised the bar, but I believe that he's not going to want to go further than this.
Well, because that's what I was going to ask. What happens next? I mean, a lot of the analysts are military analysts are suggesting this can't be the end of it. There has to be something more that happens beyond this, but you don't think so?
No, I don't. Regime change, which many people are calling for, particularly, oddly enough, now in the Democratic Party, regime change would be not good for America. It wouldn't be good for America precisely because it would suck President Trump away from his war on ISIS, which he said he wants to focus on singly, and get them involved in the Syrian civil war. There are about 15 million Syrians who are dependent on the Syrian state to provide them with an hour of electricity a day. And that's the most Syrians are getting. School system, which still works in the government areas. And I'm sending money to a few different Syrian families in Damascus who've migrated from Deir ez-Zor and other places because there's no schools in much of Syria. And they have to send their kids to college and to school, and they're desperate. To destroy the Syrian state at this point, America would have to be able to move in and continue all those government services that are still being provided, even at such a terrible rate. So I don't think Trump wants to get sucked into the Syrian civil war any more than President Obama did. And he's going to want to go back to focusing on ISIS.
Well, I have to ask, of course, in the last few seconds we have about Russia, because Russia is clearly very involved in the Syrian conflict. Some have suggested that Russian jets had been flying out of that base as well. What's the Russian involvement in all this, or Russian response? Have we seen anything? Are we likely to see anything from the Russians about this?
Well, you're absolutely right. Russia is very implicated in this because they were the guarantors of the 2013 deal. The United States is looking at Russia saying, your client broke this deal. It's your fault. Russia is adamant that Assad did not do this. So they're sticking to their guns on this. We'll have to see how that plays out. But much more importantly, the U.S. and Russia have a lot to cooperate about in Syria. Destroying ISIS, al-Qaeda, stability in the larger area, war on terrorism are all things that they have in common and interests they have in common. And this is clearly going to throw a spanner in the works on that level of cooperation.
All right, Joshua, I know you've been very busy over the past few days. I'm sure you'll continue to be, but thank you for being here with us today.
Pleasure.
We'd love to hear your thoughts about this discussion or answer any questions you might have. Leave your comments in the Worldview section of KGOU.org, or like us, follow us, and interact with us on Twitter. We're at WorldviewsKGOU. Next, we'll hear from Ari Roth. He's the Artistic Director of Mosaic Theater in Washington, D.C. I'm Suzette Gorlat, and this is Worldviews. This is Worldviews. I'm Suzette Gorlat. Ari Roth founded Mosaic Theater in Washington, D.C. to be a multicultural, diverse theater company. Part of Mosaic Theater's mission is to produce plays from authors who are on the front lines of conflict zones. Ari Roth, welcome to Worldviews.
Glad to be here.
First, can you tell us kind of what took you down the path toward owning and operating a theater, becoming a playwright? Because if I understand correctly, your life didn't start out that way doing that. So tell us how you got your beginning.
I think I fell in love with theater because it was a kind of artistic expression. Artistic expression became something important for me in about seventh grade when I wrote my first song on the guitar. I think for a long time in high school, I wanted to be a singer-songwriter. And by the time college came around, all I was doing was writing songs at University of Michigan. Then I went away my sophomore year abroad. I was singing in a nightclub overlooking the old city of Jerusalem. I was studying at Hebrew University during the day. And a political science major declared, because I thought I was interested in the world, but I really wanted to express my thoughts about the world and about life through art. And art for me was music. But I began to run up against the sort of my limitations in expressing myself through the pop song, through the sensitive songwriter, or, you know, jazz-inflected song. I couldn't do anything about being the child of Holocaust refugees in a pop song. I didn't know Leonard Cohen's music well enough at the time to think, oh, there's a more complete or complex kind of songwriting I could be doing. All I knew is that Bob Dylan did what he did, and Bruce Springsteen was doing what he did, and James Taylor did what he did, and I was nowhere near that good. And so I discovered poetry overseas, and by the time I got back to Michigan, registering late for creative writing courses, I couldn't get into poetry. I couldn't get into fiction writing. I couldn't get in anywhere, because I wandered in to a playwriting class where, of course, they accepted an extra student. I walked into a 400-level playwriting seminar where they were smoking cigarettes in class. That's how cool it was back in 1980. And I never left. I fell in love with the playwriting teacher, Mylon Stitt. He was a Broadway playwright who had written The Runner Stumbles. I knew about University of Michigan because it was the alma mater of Arthur Miller. That happened to be the one play that I read as an eighth grader that touched me to my core. I didn't think I loved theater, but I loved that play. It reminded me of something about my own family. Again, my father was not a salesman. He was not an all-American kind of guy. He had a refugee story. But something about that sadness of dreams not quite working out and father-son relationships struck me to its core. And when I found out that playwriting was a marriage of the disciplines of jurisprudence and behavior, that seemed a perfect fusion for my own family background with a mother who is a psychologist, a father who is an attorney. And it resonated deeply in me. And I thought, this is the art form where I will be able to express myself. And so I never left. I was making up for lost time in the theater ever since.
I love the story and how you remind us really the importance, or at least the reality, of how art and politics go together. And you've said in other interviews that I've read about you that the theater is not just about entertainment, it is about education. So how did you come to that?
I wouldn't use the word education so much as it's about engagement. It's about engaging with the world. And the art plugs you into the issues that matter, you know, the politics that define people's lives. And so you just get that intersection between quality of life and the reality of political strife, and they're interwoven.
Well, clearly you've been dealing with a lot of issues in your current work at your theater, Mosaic Theater, on things that matter, issues, policies that matter. You focus on diversity issues. You focus on social justice issues. I mean, it seems like you really treat your theater, your productions, as a form of activism. Would that be accurate? As a way to address some of the very difficult issues we face today in society, like race and religion and certain kinds of identity?
Well, I think that's right. I think, look, it's the nation's capital, and it's both a very local, national, and international capital all at once. The issues of race are confronted with the reality that you're living in both a segregated city, but where Mosaic is located, you're dealing with all of the politics of urban revitalization, or what you would call gentrification, and how that plays itself out in inspiring ways and then in really unjust ways. I mean, I think having your eyes open in an urban center means you're attuned to how politics and race identity all mash up with each other.
But this isn't without its controversies either, is it? I mean, some people, of course, obviously think they go to the theater to just be entertained and to not have to, you know, face potentially challenging issues. And then others that, for example, just the issue of who can tell whose story. You know, if somebody who writes a play about a certain story and then how you cast. This has been made very public recently, for example, in like hiring transgendered actors to play transgendered, you know, people. So, I mean, how do you do? Well, what are some of the controversies you dealt with?
I think you try not. You understand that there is no right way to deal with it, and that the many different stakeholders in the argument all have a valid point to make. So the people who say, hey, theater is about transforming, every actor needs to step out of their own skin into the shoes and the skin of another. And so whether you're white, black, what have you, you should have the toolkit to transform into somebody else's being. A writer should have the empathy and the talent to step out of her or his own experience to write about others. So you recognize that there is a thousands-year-old tradition of stepping out of one's own experience to render the life of another. Then you pay close attention to the people who have felt underrepresented, who have seen white male writers and white male directors dominate the interpretive landscape here, and they say, it's time for us to be represented as well. We need gender parity in the arts. We need representation from communities that have been written about but never allowed to tell their own stories. And you recognize that that has validity and political urgency as well. You try to create a big tent. Mosaic was formed just 2 years ago, but not as a small startup, but as a mid-size theater, which is to say a $1.5 million producing budget this year, so we could have a big tent and allow for multiple ways in which to represent some of these, you know, up-to-the-moment portraits. And sometimes we will have a cisgendered playwright writing about transgender heroes. Other times, and this will happen next year, we will have a transgender writer of color finally telling his, her own story, because there's no one way to tell that story. There need to be multiple ways of telling that story. We do that with race as well. African-American play, sometimes directed by an African-American director. Other times, a white director, sensitive to so many of the issues and other experiential aspects of the play, can do just as credible a job. There's no one right way to have that work done. What you need is not a scarcity of slots, a scarcity of resources. You need to see this as a theater of abundance, where there are many different ways you can address the issue. Of course, on the Middle East agenda, which is what actually occasioned the beginning of Mosaic Theater. I had been running a festival across town at Theater J, a project called Voices from a Changing Middle East, and there was not one way to tell, one perspective to tell that story. There are multiple perspectives, multiple narratives that, taken together, form a complex tapestry of stories that you tell in order to make a broader statement.
Roth. He's the founding artistic director of Mosaic Theater in Washington, D.C. After the break, we'll continue our conversation about plays from the Middle East. I'm Suzette Gorelot, and this is Worldviews. Worldviews. I'm Suzette Gorelot, the Dean of the College of International Studies at the University of Oklahoma. Our guest today is Ari Roth. He's the founding artistic director of Mosaic Theater in Washington. Before the break, we were talking about telling stories from the Middle East through multiple perspectives. Well, on this issue of Middle Eastern productions, I mean, you spent time in the region. It sounds mm-hmm. like you studied abroad there. You spent other time there. And I think many of us are unfamiliar with the plays and other productions that have been written by or produced by mm-hmm. people from the Middle East or even about the Middle East. But this seems to be what you've really, you know, spent a good deal of time on in your theater.
It was important for me to introduce to audiences in the United States the foremost Palestinian novella. A work called Return to Haifa. Now, it happened to be adapted by an Israeli writer who created a production that the Kamari Theater of Tel Aviv produced using Palestinian and Israeli actors together. I brought that show over to the United States, commissioned it to be performed in both Arabic and in Hebrew with English surtitles, and it became a kind of landmark where we could see the narratives of Palestinians and Israelis interwoven to create a very, very poignant drama. That happened again with another controversial but acclaimed production called The Admission, and a project we actually hope to bring to Oklahoma University next season, if all goes well, is a play called I Shall Not Hate, based on the memoir of a Gazan doctor, Izzeldin Abulaish, lived in Gaza, father of eight children, delivers babies in Israel at Tel HaShomer Hospital, and he suffered a wrenching tragedy during the Gaza War, where he lost three of his daughters to a missile. But he remained close to Israeli colleagues, journalists, and remains to this day committed to a vision of coexistence in spite of the grief and the loss. And so I Shall Not Hate is also performed in Arabic and Hebrew. It's really one of the most moving chronicles you'll ever see for the stage.
It sounds like then the purpose of your theater is it goes beyond just, you know, putting on a production. You're bringing people together to build better relations, to build community, that there's like even a purpose even greater and higher than, you know, producing a play.
I mean, I certainly believe that plays need to be entertaining and they need to be riveting and they need to work. And conflict is the coin of the realm when it comes to theater. So it's unnatural that theater would be effective if it's dealing with conflict regions. Now, when you're in a conflict region and you care about the people involved, you want to see healing. You want to see repair. You want to see bridges being built so that the divides that create this enmity will shrink and that people can come closer together. And theater really works to humanize, to create awareness and empathy. And those are the recipes for creating something closer to harmony and moving away from, you know, wrenching polarization that we're all feeling right now.
Well, I have to kind of end on this note because, Ari, I'd read, and then you mentioned earlier in this discussion that your parents are refugees from Germany. And how does this reflect for you?
I think being the child of refugees from the Holocaust who were compelled to go into the healing professions, and in my mother's case, who were saved by righteous Gentiles, right? My mother was in hiding in the Alps during World War II, and she was saved by Christian peasants and later by nuns who sheltered her in a convent. So when people, good people, have saved your life, you look back at the war and you look at the good. You look at how people were compelled to step out of themselves and help save people. And so you're compelled to create work that saves souls. And that's what I think theater can be a part of as well.
Ari Roth, thank you so much for being here today and sharing your story. And we look forward to hearing more about your theater in the future.
Thank you so much.
That's Ari Roth. He's the founding artistic director at Mosaic Theater in Washington, D.C. You can find more information online at kgou.org and subscribe to our weekly podcast. Worldviews is produced in partnership between KGOU and the College of International Studies at the University of Oklahoma. Katie Holland prepares our research, Sam Dupre produced the show, and Jacob McClellan edited this interview. For Joshua Landis, I'm Suzette Gorlotte.